Today, we begin the season of creation. Much like our annual year moves through seasons, the summer, winter, spring, fall, the church has seasons as well. We have seasons as we approach Christmas or Easter, and then every once in a while we hit these seasons that are just sort of long and rather ordinary. In fact, that's actually the name of one of them. The church actually has ordinary time. Yeah, you try putting that on a board outside and talking people to come in. We move through these different seasons as it helps us journey through different parts of what our life as God's people is all about. And we've taken on and helped begin a new season called the season of creation, where we take the Sundays in July to focus on the world around us. This is not only a unique church season, but it's actually one that's very brand new. Just within the last 5-6 years has this started to become a thing, and we're hoping it will be a thing, and we got in early. Very, very cool of us. But this year, Season of Creation, the sermons and movement through have been inspired by America the Beautiful. We'll sing that hymn this month, don't worry. But it's actually a beautiful story to the hymn as its author sat on the top of Pike's Peak looking out at all that God had made, reflecting on what it is, those spacious skies, those amber waves of grain. And that's where we start our conversation in the Season of Creation, with those beautiful amber waves of grain. However, this year, I know those southeastern Colorado fields are actually quite empty, having driven through them and actually walked through several of them just a few weeks ago. Our climate and its changes have left farmers in our southeast area with these brown billows of dust instead of amber waves of grain. Entire towns and counties are praying that their livelihood doesn't simply blow away this season. But I remember other years and other farms, years that were beautiful and poetic in their growth and bounty of harvest. And often I would get to walk through fields in years like that. And often the fields I would walk through, the grains were ones that would feed livestock. When your uncle's a dairy farmer, you walk through a lot of those fields. Alfalfa and hay for the cattle or for the pigs. And those are beautiful fields, but every once in a while, there were occasions I would get to walk through fields of wheat and barley. Beautiful fields that were carefully tended and grown for people around the corner and around the world to share and eat together. Grains that would thrive in the soil and be nourished by the sun, taking root deep in the earth at the same time as they reach skyward. That growth process, one that is as ageless as the God that designed it. Beautiful grain that would bend in the wind, and upon its maturing and browning, would be harvested by those who had planted it and who had tended it and watched it through its life. You see, that process, that harvesting process, has actually seen a lot of change throughout humanity's history. Those amber waves of grain are timeless, but how we do something with them has changed much throughout the years, from hands to scythes and sickles to threshers and combines. Technology has ever been changing the way we go about gathering that beautiful grain. But there's always been a constant reality in the fields. Whether by accident or the process that it went through or the conscience of the grower itself, you look at any given field and there's always something left behind. Something left that can be gleaned, gathered up by others after the main harvest, as they follow through and see what's been left behind. It's an ancient practice, and I want you to hear it described biblically from the book of Leviticus. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of the harvest that are left behind. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor or those foreign to your land. For I, the Lord, your God, have asked. Gleaning is named, described, and even instructed several times throughout the Hebrew Bible, our Old Testament. It's named specifically in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that God's people would leave a remnant for those who would come after and glean. It appears in something called the Holiness Code, this section of our scriptures that instruct folks on how to live a holy and godly life. It's a part of our scripture that instructs God's people on how to live uniquely as God's people. Those who grew and who harvested we're instructed to leave a portion for others. Now, throughout the generations, many Jewish rabbis and many Christian theologians have reflected on this kind of a practice, and often they focus on what's left for others and how that's caring and an act of community or hospitality in these different pieces. They think about the role and purpose and meaning of what's left. But this morning, I would invite us to consider not what's just left, but all that is used and how it is used. Because caring for creation, the invitation to embrace and tend to the world around us, is a form of stewardship. Now, if you haven't heard me discuss this before, stewardship for me, and I think in general, is not about giving. Too often the word stewardship is immediately associated with pastors asking for money. You look at the bulletin, you see it's Stewardship Sunday, you want to leave, because they're just going to hit you up for things. That's not what stewardship is about. There are some who would say that if you give, that's good stewardship. Instead, I would like for us to consider stewardship as being about how we use what we have and what we're given. Good stewardship is doing the best that we can with whatever we have at the moment. And this, I hope, brings our story into a new focus. Because in order to leave anything for anyone, those who do the growing must make good use of what they have. They need to get the most out of their land. They need to get the most out of what they do harvest and have, because they don't get to go back for the extra. If they don't do those things, they won't have enough. You see, the practice of gleaning is not about leftovers. Though there's actually some amazing modern examples of how leftovers are being used as a practice of gleaning to care for folks. The practice of gleaning was a commitment and a dedication up front that shaped how a person used everything they had. Because folks knew that what they harvested that first time, the portion of, not the entirety, the portion would have to be enough. What was present in the fields was not the growers alone. It was a gift that they were blessed to have part of. It's in this way that I see a strong parallel between the ancient practice of gleaning and our need, our invitation to be good stewards of creation today. Our world is often stuck in a whatever is left mentality when it comes to natural resources. We use what we use, and whatever's left, well, we can deal with that later. You see, without the benefits of a defined field, right? That's one thing the farmer had going for him. They knew exactly what was there and could visually see it. Without the benefits of a defined field, without a known number of rows and weight and harvesting, it's easy to forget that the majority of the resources we rely on are non-renewable and have their limits as well. It's easy to forget that we better make good use of what we have because it's all that we have. And even when we recognize the scarcity or the potential for scarcity of our resources, that realization often ends up driving a selfish process of claiming and protecting and drawing lines around whose is whose and whose is not. This is not biblical. As God's people, we are invited, we're instructed to consider others in our use of what we have. Did you know that if every other human being around the world consumed resources like Americans, our planet could only sustain 2 billion people? Considering our world count is about 7 billion and climbing, that should be frightening. For a country that uses or has less than 5% of the world's people, we use over 25% of the Earth's resources. That's not good stewardship. That's not leaving something for others. That's not making good use. When I look back at this invitation in our scripture, this instruction to God's people to leave grain for the gleaning, what I see is a focus on relationship. It's not about farming. It's not about percentages. It's about relationship. When I think of amber waves of grain, they may not always be the first questions that come to my mind, but as I reflected this week, this is what came to me. What is our relationship with resources themselves? Are we dependent to the point that we have to have everything or we can't make it? What's our relationship to those around us, not just immediately, but in our global village? Are others an afterthought, getting only what's left, if anything at all? And most importantly, what is our relationship to God in this? Can we honor the one who has blessed us by choosing to bless others with what we have? Can we make the best use of what we've been given in this moment so that there will be more moments and so many others to share it with? Amen.